My name is Morgan Murray. I'm the transitional pastor. Welcome to worship this morning. We're continuing our series exploring Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And each Thursday morning, the men gather for the men's breakfast, and we read the last Sunday's scripture lesson again. And instead of doing, you know, we don't do the whole sermon or anything, but we hear it again, and then we just sort of get reflections, give the guys a chance to think about what the text has meant to them, and kind of further on, sort of after a few days of reflecting on it. And we read the first passage of Ephesians and got done reading it from last Sunday, and then everybody just stood this collective sort of a whew, because it was just, there was just so much in it, and the language was so grand and so effusive and so broad. I mean, it's intended to be this big vision language, and yet it's really hard to take in. And I'm saying that because I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul, in part, is writing the letter of Ephesians to address what he sees as a poverty of imagination in the church. That is, a poverty of being able to see and understand just what an extraordinary thing it is to be called the church, to be called by God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, into this new way of being with one another that is intended to transform the world. Like, the church is everything to Paul. And I say this to you, the church, because if you ask people what they think of church nowadays, men will basically say they're bored, and women will say they're tired. And that's not the image at all that we have that Paul gives to us. And because we live in a world of sound bites, because we live in a world where everything needs to be a pithy little short phrase, it can be really hard for our ears and our minds and our hearts to take in what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, even though it's amazing stuff. So all of that is just a warm-up to say, open your... We sang, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Now I want you to open the ears of your heart to try to take in these few verses and kind of capture the breadth, just how broad and how deep and how wide Paul's vision of the church actually is. And how the church, like we talked about last week, how the church is like this extraordinary diamond engagement ring. And that the centerpiece is this diamond, which is holy. It's exclusive. It's set apart for this unique work. And it is blameless or flawless. It's perfectly designed and perfectly shaped for the purpose. And what is the purpose? To give God glory, to make God really look good. That's what the purpose of the church is, to showcase God's love, God's justice, God's glory, God's purposes in the world. That's what that when people see the church, they should be caught by surprise the same way they see a big gorgeous rock on a woman's finger, to say, whoa, that tells me something. That's a message about someone's love and about what that love looks like. Make sense? Okay. You'll pick up, as you listen to this, you'll just kind of notice how Paul gets the whole Trinity involved. How God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all in this, doing this work, and that it is in the work that God does, the triune God does, that we do our work. And what's that work intended to accomplish? It's wisdom. It's so that we can really know Jesus well and follow Jesus well and understand who Jesus is and live as Jesus lives. And out of all that, when we have the wisdom and we do the work, that's worship. That's whole life worship. That's not just worship that happens for an hour on a Sunday morning. That's every part of our being an expression of God's love and worship. Follow? Nod your head like you care? Okay. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Trinity. Trinity, right there. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. On three, we'll all say, whew, together. One, two, three. Whew. Okay. Wow, that's a lot. Can I get my head around all that? No, that's kind of the point. And God, Paul continues, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. He says all is like the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the whole triune God, and has done all this amazing work, evidenced in the resurrection. That same power is in you right now. And that power was made manifest in Jesus Christ, who was put over Lord of everything. For what purpose? For whose sake? To do what? To make church. So that we could have session meetings. So that we could have buildings and grounds committees. So that we could do small group Bible studies. So that we could eat donuts during the fellowship hour. All this good stuff. All this amazing stuff. To make this thing, this extraordinary thing that's unlike anything else in the whole wide world, the church. And God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. Let us say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So I really am genuinely curious how many people thought that the 49ers were going to do as well this year. If you could go back at the beginning, imagine the beginning of the year and say, okay, yep, I knew the Niners would just be this good. Be honest. How many really want the rest of us to believe that you really believe that? Yeah, right, right. Exactly. I say this because I was enjoying the game yesterday, just like most of you were, and parenthetically, I really shouldn't. It's a pastor preaching rules 101 teaches not to use sports metaphors. It's because actually not everybody watches sports, but I'm making an exception this time. It's really not so much a sports metaphor as a hope metaphor. This is a metaphor in hope, right? So, I'm sitting on the couch with my girlfriend, and I made chili, and we're eating our chili and our cornbread, and we're watching, and there was a little tense moment with an interception and that sort of thing. But overall, this game turned out just as we would have hoped. The 49ers just did great, and there was really no doubt in anybody's mind for very long that the 49ers weren't going to win, right? And my girlfriend says, you know, she reflects, she goes, boy, I'm sure glad they're doing so well because I've already planned my calendar. You know, I already have my whole weekend, next weekend all planned out. And my gosh, if they hadn't won today, they wouldn't play next week. And they certainly wouldn't play in the Super Bowl. I've already got these things on my calendar. What would I do? What would I do if they actually didn't win? That's hope. That's hope. That is expectation, right? I am so confident in what's going to happen in this really wonderful positive outcome, if you're a 49er fan. I am so convinced of this that I've already got it in my calendar. I had to sign up for the denomination's national gathering, which actually meets the day after the Super Bowl. And like a big dope, I scheduled my flight for Sunday afternoon. You know, just because I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be there. You know, okay, better get there the day before because it starts in the morning and it's in Dallas. And, you know, we're in California, so we always lose time and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's why they did it the day after the Super Bowl. Because nobody wants to rent that convention center the day after the Super Bowl. Right? No, they didn't have to worry about that, so they got a good deal on it in Dallas. They could have pretty well expected they weren't going to need that convention center for no. But anyway. So I had to change my flight, right? I had to change my flight because there was a chance, a better than good chance, that my team might actually end up in the Super Bowl. That's hope. That's hope. You could almost go so far as to say and ask yourself the question, why did we even need to play yesterday's game? Right? I mean, why even play when we were so confident? We had so much hope, so much expectation that the 49ers are going to win. It doesn't even feel like we really need to play it. I am actually going somewhere with this. Because if you remember, I started this little sermon by talking about wisdom plus work equals worship. Wisdom plus work equals worship. That's what I'm suggesting our passage is teaching us this morning. Wisdom, that is the revelation of how God has revealed God's loving purposes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's being revealed to us, and that we can't understand that by ourselves. We can't discover that. It's revealed to us, and that revelation comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to know something we can't know on our own. That's wisdom, to know Jesus better, wisdom. And that is going to lead to work. That is doing the things of being the body of Christ in the world. And that work we do, which was what last week? To be blameless. To do the good. To do the thing that is, to do that which is always of the highest good for the most people that, and reflecting the kingdom values. We're supposed to be out doing good. And that we don't do that good in our own strength. We do it because God worked first. It's by God's incredible work, God's power. You know, what is power? It's the ability to do work. And what work did God do? God did the work of raising Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul says. And that big work of absolutely once and for all showing us the pattern of how through suffering and death and resurrection, newness of life, renewal will happen, and all things are going to be made new. And all of this happens under the lordship, under the direction of the one that we trust most of all, that is Shanahan. No, that is Jesus Christ, right? You following me now? Are you starting to see what I'm going after? That is church, we have got lots of work to do. Big work, hard work. Work in the face of unspeakable crisis. You're the church that is to be the hope of the world at a time when hope for the world is at an all-time low. We really did think that we could destroy the planet with nuclear weapons 40 years ago. We really did believe that. I remember because I was around then. I remember the thing that I was most worried about growing up was that Russia and the United States would launch nuclear weapons on each other and that would destroy the Earth. We had the power in a nuclear age to destroy absolutely everything. And then the Cold War ended, the Berlin Wall fell, the United States was the only superpower. That for what, rightly or wrongly, we just didn't really think anybody was going to be crazy enough to actually do that. So we didn't really worry about our ability to destroy the Earth that way. And now, as we hear about the unprecedented destruction in Australia and how that's the culmination of one more really major natural disaster that we believe is not going to just stop. It's going to continue. We're like, something's got to change, and we as human beings need to attend to this. We have work to do. We have work to do as a nation. We have work to do as individual people. We have work to do as the human race. And we think to ourselves, these issues are so big. They're so hard. They're so impossible. The mess is just so great. But this text teaches us that Jesus is Lord of everything and that God has got it handled. This is a word of unspeakable hope that no matter what situation the church finds itself in, no matter what situation the earth finds itself in, no matter what is happening, that God is greater. This, my friends, is why I love being a Presbyterian, because we actually teach and believe that God is sovereign. Can I get an amen? Amen. That the sovereignty of God is settled. The outcome of the game is already established. It's almost like we really don't need to play the game because we already know Jesus wins. And if Jesus wins, the church wins. And when Jesus wins through the church, the body of Christ, guess what? All creation wins. And that outcome is set. We already know how this is all going to turn out. We can put it in our calendar. We can book it. We can make that plan. And I'm just wanting to emphasize to us this morning that just because we know it's all going to work out, just because we know, doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means we do it with even greater zeal. Of course we wanted to see yesterday's game. Of course that game needs to be played. Why? Because it's fun. It's fun to see these grown men play football and have fun doing it. It's fun to be with, to cheer with each other and to celebrate it. And if we were really, really honest, if the season had ended yesterday, it still would have been fun. Wouldn't it turned out the way we wanted to? But hey, it is, after all, just football. I know it feels like it's going to change your personal life. It actually won't, except for, you know, a few hours on Saturdays and Sundays for the next couple of weeks. What we instead have is the work of love and justice, the work of caring for our neighbor, the work of sharing the gospel with our lives, with our co-workers, with our kids, with our grandkids, with our neighbors. We have this work to do, but we do not need to do it out of compulsion. We don't need to do it out of guilt. We don't need to do it out of, well, I guess if I don't do this, then God's not going to really love me, or I'm a bad person. No, we do it because we already know what the outcome is going to be. We lay claim to all the work that the Church of Jesus Christ is called to do for the sake of our fellow human beings, for the sake of all of creation. We claim all this. We're supposed to be the hope of the world. And because Jesus has been set above all things, because Jesus, who is head of all creation, is also head of the body, the church. Because that's true, we can just do our work. We can just do the work. God's already done all the hard stuff. We get to come in and do the joyful work, the loving work. In the short term, sometimes it feels like it's not adding up. In the short term, it feels like things are, you know, literally the world's going to hell in a handbasket. In the short term, it can feel this way. And so Paul wants to remind his church in Ephesus and us today that, yep, in the short term, it can feel like this is super, super hard. But then he brings us back to, I do the work, Paul says, of continually praying for you. I keep praying that you would, the revelation of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is to you, would grow more and more and more. I pray that the work that God has done to bring you together as a community, utterly set apart from the rest of the world, unlike anything that has ever been in the world before or since, that the way you are the body of Christ, that God has done that work, you didn't do it, you couldn't possibly do it, and that work has already been established. I'm praying that you understand that, and that out of that work, you would do your work too. Do your part too. That's what the balance of Ephesians is going to explore. What that work looks like. What it means to some of those phrases that we love to talk about and go back to over and over again. What it means to speak the truth in love. We're going to think about that together. I know how to tell you the honest truth. And I know how to be nice. But how do I speak the truth in love? That takes that to a whole different level. Amen? And then God's called. That's what the church, one of the things that the church does in the world. We speak the truth in love. Right? How do we do that? Well, on our own strength, we never will. But as we know Jesus better, wisdom, as we embrace the work God has already done and do our part, then our lives become a living sacrifice. We recognize ourselves as the workmanship, the poema of God. We enthusiastically embrace all those good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. It all just starts to flow. And like a Super Bowl team, like a football team who seems destined to win a Super Bowl, we find ourselves in the flow of destiny. That we're just doing it and doing it and doing it. And God is growing in His fame. God's kingdom is advancing. And we get to celebrate that. That's the greatest vision a person can be involved with. Amen? That's what it means to be the church. Wisdom. Plus, doing the work equals our lives, our whole lives, every part of our lives becomes this wonderful expression of worship. Worship is our greatest work, amen? To glorify God with all of our being, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. This is the work we're called to. Friends, let me pray a benediction over you this morning. Loving Father, the one who has given us your Son, Lord Jesus, the one whom we've just identified and named and offered up in song, a few of your many titles that convey your lordship, the completeness of your ministry over us. And Holy Spirit, the one who binds us to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and binds us to one another. We give you praise and thanks, and we ask that your power would be made manifest in us in 2020. That your purpose would be made clearer in us in 2020. That the overworked metaphor of 2020 vision would indeed be true for us. We would see with greater clarity and have greater hope that will lead us to work ever harder and with greater joy for your kingdom purposes here on this corner, in this community, and in the world. Lord, bless us now that we may be a blessing in the world as you intend for us to be, your church. Continue to expand our vision, we ask in Jesus' great name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.